Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and the Word is the Way to Life broadcast. I am going to use a different translation this week for our look at Solomon. I'm going to use the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Now, this was one that was put out by Lifeway Bookstore. And I just happened to grab it, and I thought, well, I've been doing the New Living Translation for so long, maybe I'll just take a look at a different translation. As this week, we look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Hear God's word. Send your bread on the surface of the waters, for after many days you may find it. Give a portion to 7 or 8, for you don't know what disaster may happen on the earth. If the clouds are full, they will pour out rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. One who watches the wind will not sow, and the one who looks at the clouds will not reap. Just as you don't know the path of the wind or how many bones develop in the womb of a pregnant woman, so you don't know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not let your hand rest, because you don't know which will succeed, whether one or the other, or if both of them will be equally good. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of God's word. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. You know, we're getting closer to chapter 12 when Solomon puts this all together. Now, you may not have expected to find in the Bible this financial advice, but if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, it says, aim for a diversified investment portfolio. Now, the teacher has emphasized in chapter 9, chapter 10, the world is an unpredictable place. Wars break out, there's injustice and corruption, and today's passage makes the same point in relation to natural phenomena. You cannot predict, still less control the weather, but there comes a time when you must make your decision to act. So, if you wait until you're sure of the outcome, you will wait forever and lose everything. The right response to uncertainty is not to do nothing, but to factor the uncertainty into your planning. I don't know about you, but I've always had a lot of uncertainty. And somebody said one time, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. So, you cannot assume that everything you do will succeed. Some things will not succeed, but if you spread your risk, that may bring gain in the long term. So what in the world is the teacher talking about exactly? I think a series of joint ventures like those described in chapter 4, a generous attitude towards others, particularly the needy. Perhaps he also had in mind attempts to work for the common good, like those he described in chapters 8 and 10. So everything is subject to uncertainty. There is no time, no climate so favorable that you can be certain of success. If you sow your seed, there are limits on how much gain you can reasonably expect. This applies both to the selfish gain described in parts of chapter 2 through 5 and the more altruistic ventures in chapters 8 and 10. We cannot really be sure what will succeed. Amen? Well, why is this? That's why I love Solomon. Solomon goes on behind the individual uncertainties of life into the most fundamental uncertainty of all. We don't know what God is doing. God is the maker of all things. Everything that happens ultimately comes from God. Precisely for that reason, we must acknowledge that we cannot understand the work of God. Oh, yeah, we can see, or think we can see, the reason for some things that happen, but none of us can explain everything that happens in God's world. All of our ventures, then, are subject to a caveat. God willing. You know, we pray that sometimes, and they say, well, we pray this, we pray that, God willing. But we must make decisions and plan as best that we can and go for it. But, I love the buts and the ifs, we must also expect the unexpected and reckon with life's uncertainties. As the teacher has often reminded us, our knowledge of God's ways is limited. And to accept this limitation, unwelcome though it may be, it is the way of wisdom. After all, if the choice between God's purposes fulfilled or our own plans succeed, I think surely we prefer the former. It tells us that in Isaiah 55, 9 through 13, if you want to go back and read it. But today's passage has implication for decision making. It tells us that we must stop often and then step out, not knowing entirely how things will turn out. How many times have we done that? We've set out on something and we stepped out either by faith or our own little thing and we, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to go. Or whether or not we are in the center of God's will, as some put it. But think about this. How does our understanding of decision-making compare to Solomon in this passage that we read? Well, think about this. Reflect on the teacher's point that you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. And in what areas of your life does this seem to be true, particularly the way we live our life? Are we comforted by things or troubled by this realization? I think it's really an awesome thing to be able to think that we are not in control of anything. We like to think that we are, but we're not. You know, it's an amazing thing, this thing called life. And Solomon, that's what makes him so special. He had everything that anybody could ever want. But then God asked him one day, then, hey, what else would you like? And he said, Lord, I think what I want, I wisdom. I got everything else. The wisdom to make these decisions. The wisdom to do what I can. To love one another. And you know, as you know Solomon's life, he made a lot of mistakes. That's why I'm anxious to get to chapter 12. To see what conclusion he's come to, because we cannot control people, places, and things. We like to think that we do, but we certainly don't. At least Ralphie don't. Well, we're grateful that you're tuning in and we're looking at Solomon and Ecclesiastes and reflecting on all the things that he's talking about and things that he experienced. You know, that's what makes Jesus our perfect intercessor, because he experienced everything that we experience in this life. You know, I really think that this is what God was thinking, and I don't know that. I'm not an expert on nothing, but I'm thinking, you know, God was sending prophets, and he was trying to get through to these stiff-necked bunch of people, and he couldn't get through to them. And I think he said one day, you know, I think the only way I'm going to be able to communicate with these guys is to become one like them. So he decided he's going to find a virgin. And he's going to allow the Holy Spirit to impregnate her so that the baby that comes forth the birth canal, just like we come through the birth canal, and then grow in this world in wisdom and stature and come to know that he is fully human but fully God and given us the ability to go through this life and experience. And then he experienced. So when we pray to him, and I think he sits at the right hand of God. He said, Daddy, you know, he said, I know how they feel. I know how they feel down there. Forgive them, for they don't know what they do. You remember that? He said it on the cross. Anyhow, I'm just babbling today. But I love having a faith relationship with the God who created heaven and the earth and created us in His image. What a joy. So, with all that said, we do close this little segment with prayer. And we have people on our prayer list, and you can click on the slides, and you'll be able to see the ones that we have on there. And but you don't need an 800 number. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody if you just come to God in faith and in spirit. Because He wants to talk to you, and He wants you to talk to Him. I think that's what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples. Now, many people call this the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the Disciples' Prayer because He was teaching the disciples how to pray. There is a Lord's Prayer, though, over in John 17, where Jesus was praying for us. But the Disciples' Prayer gives us a model for all of our prayers to line up with as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God loves you, and so do we. I hope to hear from you next week as we come together and study what the book of Ecclesiastes has to say to us as we work up to chapter 12. Have a blessed day.